Well, now that's all out of the way. Good morning. I was getting worried there for a second because I didn't think my PowerPoint was going to come up, but it did, and it was there back there, so that's good. It is so good to see all of you here this morning. This is my wife and I. This is our second time to be here with you. The first time we came as guests, and we were here to visit. We were on kind of a vacation a few months ago. And we were just so impressed with your kindness, the way you treated us. And we have been looking forward to coming back and being with you ever since we left. I have been excited about this opportunity ever since Brother Jack Smith called me a few weeks ago and invited me to come down. And I certainly appreciate this invitation. I want you to know that I am a young man that takes the Word of God very seriously. And I will do the best I can this morning to preach the Word of God in a simple way to where we can all understand it. You know, there are a lot of things we could all be doing right now. I saw some people on the way here to the building. I saw some people outside jogging, getting some exercise, and we could be doing that also. We could probably be sleeping in. Maybe we're a little sleepy. We could sleep in or maybe be watching our favorite television program, but we didn't choose to do any of those things. We chose to be here. We chose to serve God. And for that, I am very appreciative to have you as brethren because you love the Lord. And I know our Father in heaven appreciates your devotion and your reverence for him. And I hope God is glorified in everything we do this morning. But I want to start this lesson by telling you something you already know. You know, it's easy to hear preaching today. We live in a time where we have more access to preaching than any other period in the history of the world. We can turn on our televisions and hear preaching. We can turn on the radios and hear it. We can go to the store and buy religious magazines and read preaching. We can log onto the internet and read it. You would think that since we have such easy access to preaching and religious teaching, that there would be many people right with God. The truth is, that is not the case. Just because we have easy access to religious teachings, that does not mean all of these teachings are right. We live in a time where there's a lot of preaching, but there's not a lot of preaching Jesus. The preachers in the Bible, these men preached Jesus. Please take out your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 8 with me. Acts chapter 8, as we start our lesson, we'll read from Acts chapter 8. In verse number 26, in Acts chapter 8, and let's start reading with verse number 26. The Bible says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And as he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah, then the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, Well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. What we have taking place in these scriptures is we have a gospel preacher, Philip, an evangelist, who is led by the Holy Spirit to an Ethiopian treasurer. And Philip goes into the chariot and he sees this treasurer reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the eunuch or the treasurer does not understand what he's reading. So Philip helps him. And the Bible says he preached Jesus to him. What does the Bible mean when it says he preached Jesus? Is preaching Jesus something mysterious that only Philip the evangelist knew how to do? Is it possible for us to know how to preach Jesus? This morning, we're going to study what it means to preach Jesus. And there are four characteristics that we will look at of what it means to preach Jesus. And these four characteristics can be found in Acts chapter 8. Preaching Jesus is something many people leave up to their own interpretation, but the Bible clearly tells us how to do it. And this is what it means to preach Jesus. Preaching Jesus means preaching the Word of God. And Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 5, the Bible says, "Therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the Word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them." Now I think it's important that we see that this is the same Philip that we just read about in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. The same preacher that came to the Ethiopian eunuch and preached Jesus to him. Except here, the Bible says he went to the city of Samaria and was proclaiming Christ to the people, or preaching the word to the people. And what does that mean? There are a lot of people in our society who don't understand that proclaiming Christ and preaching the word mean the same thing. And preaching the word means the same thing as preaching the word of God. But what does it mean to preach the word of God? What is the word of God? Well, if we're going to understand what the word of God is, it is important that we pay close attention to the word of, because the word of shows possession. It shows ownership. So whatever the word of God is, we can safely conclude that it belongs to God. But there's a way we can prove this. Jesus says in John chapter 17 and verse 17, when he prays to the Father, he says, "Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Now, in this simple passage, Jesus gives us two characteristics of the word of God. The first characteristic that Jesus gives us of the word of God is it belongs to God, because he says, "Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Now, that's one characteristic right there. But there's a second one. The second characteristic Jesus gives us of the word of God is it is truth, because he says, "Your word is truth." Now, those are two characteristics of what the word of God is. But there's a third one. And for us to find the third one, please turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And keep your finger at Acts chapter 8, because we're going to go back there. But turn with me now to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's start reading with verse number 20. 2 Peter 1, verse number 20, the Bible says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." What the Apostle Peter is basically telling us, he is telling us that the Word of God comes from heaven and it has been revealed for men to know. The source of the Word of God is from heaven. So here are three characteristics of the Word of God. The Word of God belongs to God. The Word of God is truth, and the Word of God is given from heaven for us to know. If we were to put all three of these characteristics into one sentence, this would be the sentence right here. The Word of God is God's truth revealed from heaven for us to know. That's what the Word of God is. So what does that tell us? That tells us we can trust the Word of God because it comes from the mind of God. The apostles, these men trusted the Word of God. We know this because they only preached what Jesus told them to preach. Now, there's an interesting question that arises for us. Do we have the same trust in the Word of God? The apostles only preached what Jesus told them to preach. Nothing more, nothing less. Preaching the Word of God does not mean we preach anything we want. It's not preaching Calvinism. It's not preaching Mormonism. It's not preaching Catholicism. That's not preaching the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God is not preaching what men want to hear, but preaching what God wants men to know so they can be saved. Turn with me in your Bibles now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll start reading with verse number 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse number 1, the Apostle Peter is writing to a young preacher, Timothy, and he tells him how to preach the Word of God. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What we have here is we have an experienced gospel preacher, the Apostle Paul, instructing or informing a younger preacher, Timothy, on how to preach the Word of God. He tells him to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. He tells him to be ready in season and out of season. That means to preach the Word of God when people want to hear it and to preach the Word of God when people don't want to hear it. That is what it means to preach the Word of God. A man cannot preach Jesus without preaching the inspired Word of God. And as the people of God, we must continue to preach the Word of God. We must not preach pop psychology, doctrine that is popular in society. We must not preach what we think is going to make people feel good. We must not preach fabricated, man-made doctrine. We must preach the truth, which is only found in God's inspired word. Preaching Jesus means preaching the Word of God. And preaching Jesus also means preaching the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 8, in verse number 12, the Bible says, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Once again, same preacher, Philip. The same preacher that was preaching the Word of God to the people in Samaria. Except here the Bible says he was preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to preach about the kingdom of God? Well, preaching the kingdom of God means two things. The first thing it means to preach the kingdom of God, it means to preach about the rule of God. And here's an example to help us understand this. There have been many earthly kingdoms to exist. There was the Assyrian kingdom. There was the Babylonian kingdom. There was the Roman kingdom. And what did all of these earthly kingdoms have in common with each other? They all had a king that reigned over its subjects. So what does this have to do with us? Well, God also has a kingdom. Except in God's kingdom, He is the king and we should be the subjects. Preaching the kingdom of God means preaching about the rule of God. A man cannot be saved if he does not first understand that God has the right to rule in his life. There's a second thing it means to preach about the kingdom of God. The second thing it means to preach about the one church of Jesus Christ. One cannot preach the kingdom of God and neglect preaching about the church of Jesus Christ because both go hand in hand. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And let's listen to what Jesus tells the Apostle Peter. At Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse number 18. Jesus says to Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What Jesus is saying to the Apostle Peter, he is saying two things to him in these scriptures. The first thing he is telling Peter, he is saying to Peter that Hades or death would not prevent him from establishing his church. And then he goes on to refer to the church as the kingdom of heaven. There are many instances, many times in the Bible, where the kingdom is referring to the church. The church is also a spiritual kingdom whose citizens enter in on the terms given by Jesus Christ. Preaching the kingdom does not mean we preach that God, men have the right to govern their own lives. The Bible teaches that God tells human beings they must submit to Him. And if a man does not want to submit to God, there is a consequence for that. He is forever separated from God. Preaching the kingdom does not mean we preach it's okay to go to any church you want to. You can go to the church of your choice. That's not preaching the kingdom. Preaching the kingdom does not mean we preach that we can live any way we want to. It does not matter what type of lives we live. We'll all go to heaven. That's not preaching the kingdom. Preaching the kingdom means preaching men must submit to God. The highest of all kings, men must submit to God if they want to be saved. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 in verse number 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now there are four words that I want us to pay some special attention to right now. The first two words are the words, the kingdom. Jesus says for us to seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, to seek the kingdom of God first means to seek God's rule in our lives first. And the next two words I want us to pay attention to are the words, his righteousness. Jesus says we must seek God's righteousness first. What does that mean? That means we must seek God's way to make us righteous. And part of God's rule in our lives, part of God's way of making us righteous, is we must become citizens in his spiritual kingdom, which is the church of his beloved Son. Preaching the kingdom means preaching about the rule of God, and it means to preach about the church of Jesus Christ. And as the people of God, we must continue to preach about the kingdom of God. That means we must continue to preach that God has the right to rule in all men's lives. And part of that rule that God has means men must become citizens in his spiritual kingdom or his son's body, which is his son's church. Preaching Jesus means preaching the kingdom of God. And preaching Jesus also means preaching the name of Jesus. And Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12, once again, The scriptures tell us, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Same preacher. Same preacher Philip that was preaching the word of God in the city of Samaria. The same preacher that we just read about preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. But here the Bible also tells us he was preaching the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, if we're going to understand what it means to preach the name of Jesus, it is important that we understand the use of the words name of. The Bible says Philip was preaching the name of Jesus. What that means is Philip was preaching the authority of Jesus. Name stands for authority. What Philip was preaching, he was preaching that men must submit to Jesus. Jesus is supreme over mankind. And there's another expression the Bible uses that relates to what we're talking about. The Bible also uses the statement, a person does something or did something in the name of Jesus. And what does that mean? And we can compare that statement to the way we use it in our everyday language. When we say President Bush sent an ambassador to France in the name of the United States. Or if the police come knock on our doors, and I'm not saying the police come knock on our doors because I know they don't knock on my door. But if the police come knock on our door and they say, open up in the name of the law. To do something in the name of Jesus means to do something by the authority of Jesus. And you know what that means, don't you? That means we don't do what Brother Sean Jeffries wants to do. I'm going to tell you something about me. I love hamburgers and I love pizza. And I may want to have hamburgers and pizza on the Lord's Supper table, but it does not matter what I want. Preaching the name of Jesus is not preaching the authority of men. There are many things men do and practice and preach without the authority of Jesus Christ. And I'll give you some examples. The baptizing of babies. Where does Jesus say that is okay? The use of instruments in worship. Where does Jesus say that is okay? The teaching that a man and a woman can get a divorce for any reason. Where does Jesus say that is okay? There are many men claiming to be preaching the name of Jesus, but they are not. There are many men claiming to be doing things in the name of Jesus, but they are not. What many men are doing is they're neglecting the authority of Jesus, and one cannot preach the name of Jesus and neglect his authority. As the people of God, we must continue to preach the name of Jesus. That means we must continue to preach that Jesus is the Lord of all lords. He is the King of all kings. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And if men want to be saved, they must submit themselves to Jesus Christ. Preaching Jesus means preaching the name of Jesus. And there's one final thing that we will look at this morning of what it means to preach Jesus. And preaching Jesus also means preaching the need for baptism. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 36, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? You all know what I'm about to say. Same preacher. Same preacher Philip that was preaching the word of God. Same preacher that was preaching the kingdom of God. The same preacher that was preaching the name of Jesus Christ. Except here, the Bible tells us that he was led by the Holy Spirit to an Ethiopian eunuch. And after going into the eunuch's chariot, he preached Jesus to him. Then after preaching Jesus to him, the eunuch desires to be baptized, and he is baptized. Now, there are a couple of questions I want to ask here to help us understand what's taking place. The first question I want to ask is, why was this eunuch so eager to be baptized? Why was he so demanding before he was baptized? And the second question I want to ask is, why does this eunuch order his chariot to immediately stop? Why is he so eager to get wet? Why? The answer to these questions are very easy. They're very simple. This eunuch ordered his chariot to stop because he wanted to be baptized, and he wanted to be baptized as soon as he saw some water. And there's something I must admit here, ladies and gentlemen. I must admit the text does not say that Philip preached baptism to the eunuch. The text doesn't say that. But we see it. If Philip did not teach baptism to the eunuch, then why is he desiring to be baptized? The Bible says he preached Jesus to him. So what does that tell us? That tells us that a man cannot preach Jesus and not preach baptism. This eunuch was not ignorant. The queen of Ethiopia would not have put an ignorant man in charge of her money. He knew the score. This eunuch knew that if he was going to be saved, he needed to be baptized. He knew that if he was going to spend eternity in heaven with God, he knew he needed to be baptized. That is why he said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" There are five things taking place here in these scriptures. And go ahead and turn back to Acts chapter 8 one last time as I point out these five things that are taking place. The first thing that is taking place is in verse number 37, when the eunuch gains faith in Jesus Christ. We know he gains faith in Jesus because verse 37 tells us he said, "Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God." He believed in Jesus. We see that. But there's a second thing taking place. The second thing that is taking place is he is eager, or he desires to be baptized after his study with Philip. And the third thing that is taking place is the eunuch knows water is necessary for him to be saved. But there's a fourth thing taking place. And let's read verse number 38 as we point out the fourth thing that is taking place in this context. In verse number 38, "And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him." The fourth thing that is taking place here is both Philip and the eunuch get into the water, and Philip immerses the eunuch in the water, or he buries him into the water. This eunuch is not sprinkled. And there's a fifth thing taking place. And let's read verse number 39 as we point out the fifth thing. "When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing." The fifth thing that is taking place is after the eunuch is baptized, he leaves rejoicing. The Bible tells us he is happy. And why is he happy? He's happy because he knows now he is saved. He's happy because he knows now he has had his sins washed away. And that, my brothers and sisters, is something to rejoice about. A man cannot preach Jesus and not preach baptism. There are many men today claiming to be preaching Jesus, but they are neglecting to preach baptism. There are many preachers that you can listen to today for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years, and you will never feel the need to be baptized. And we all know some preachers like that. A man cannot preach Jesus and not preach baptism. And as the people of God, we must continue to teach people. We must continue to preach that baptism is necessary. It is essential for salvation. And that is why I must preach baptism right now. If there is someone with us this morning and you have not been baptized, you have not had your sins washed away, we invite you, the Lord invites you to come and obey his gospel. Be like that Ethiopian treasurer. After hearing the gospel, the treasurer did not wait a day, a week, a month, or a year. He was baptized right after he believed the gospel. And you need to be as well if you have not. If you need to be restored into the right relationship with God, the Lord invites you to come back to him. Get your life in good standings with God once again. The Lord's invitation is extended to anyone who wishes to obey our Lord and Savior. Why don't you come as we stand and we sing?
Would you?